Tuesday morning broadcast. Rabbi Benji Kramer with us live via telephone. He's host of Meir Milim, has amazing and incredible responsibilities at the Yeshiva of Flatbush in Brooklyn, New York. And he has been a very important component of all of our special programming, especially vis-a-vis Israel over the last few years. Rabbi Benji Kramer, Mo'adim L'Simcha L'Gula Shlema.
And Chag Sameach, Nachum. Hope everything's great with you. I was listening to you before talk about how it is a Nidcha this year, Yom HaTzmaut. I was looking up. Yom HaTzmaut can only fall out. I think Mayor used to say this every year.
Right.
Can only fall out on a Monday like today. Hey, So I can only fall out on a Monday like this year, on a Wednesday, on a Friday, or on a Shabbat.
Right.
That's how our calendar works out, which means that only one of those 4 days is going to be not a Nidcha.
Correct. Or Muktam, or not a Muktam, right?
Or Muktam, correct. And therefore, it's most of the time, it's pushed off for Shmirat Shabbat purposes. You mentioned, actually, that today is May 14th, but in Hey Iyar in 1948 was May 14th. This is a question for Rabbi Heber. Apparently, even though it's a 19-year cycle, our calendar, and this 76 is a 19th year, it doesn't fall out exactly on the right day. It's 1 day off. I think that's since 2000 for some reason, that it's 1 day off, the 19-year thing.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I always thought, it's funny you say since 2000. I always thought it's always 1 day off unless you're commemorating an event that happened after Shkia, but before midnight, like someone's birth, and then it would end up being on the same day. That's interesting. I didn't realize that it might have been an adjustment for the year 2000.
Yes. My son, actually, Nathanael, was born on my 38th birthday, which is the 19th year, and we share an English birthday. We don't share a Hebrew birthday.
There you go.
One day before me.
You proved my point. And we should mention, by the way, members of your family, I don't know the current status. It could be they're still there in this capacity. But members of your family have served in the IDF. You are another one of the thousands and thousands of thousands of proud parents of what we'll call lone soldiers, because obviously you're here on this side of the world. And when your child or children serve, they are on the other side of the world. And that's something that, even though it is not, a day specifically for the soldiers, obviously, but on a day like Yom HaTzmaut, we do have to pay tribute to those, the lone soldiers, and those who are, residents and natives of Israel, who are defending our land and who are defending the people of Israel and the state of Israel, and as I'd like to say, are making sure we could live in comfort and luxury all around the world. So, kol hakavod, an extra special thank you to the Kramer family.
Thank you. We're very proud of our son Yosef and his family. He's no longer a lone soldier, thank God, because he has a family. But we're very proud of him, and he's one of the 140% of volunteers. Israel called up 100% of their Miluimnikim, and 140% came up. He's part of that extra 40% who volunteered to do Miluim. He's still trying to get in another place in Gaza, in another unit, and we're very proud of him. Obviously, it's nerve-wracking being a parent of a soldier, but that's what every Israeli goes through every day.
Yeah, and everybody who's lucky enough to have a committed Zionist in their family, like yourself, the price you pay is you don't get to sleep much. Right, Benji Kramer is with us live via telephone. Look, it's hard for you and me to do a segment like this without mentioning our dear friend Mayor Weingarten of blessed memory. Mayor and I spoke very often about Lag BaOmer being on a Sunday and how unfortunately our leaders never realized, at least I'm assuming they never realized, I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, how much Chilul Shabbos occurred when Lag BaOmer was on a Saturday night, Sunday, because of buses and other machinations that had to be set into motion on Shabbat to make it feasible for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to head to Meiron. Ironically, and maybe some will say it's a blessing in disguise, ironically, because of the war, it is being canceled this year. There will be no movement up to the Meiron area, but at least we can say that, look, Shabbos is the beneficiary. And I say it like this because, as you just pointed out before, because of Shabbos and its proximity so often, right, three possibilities out of every four, to Yom HaZikaron, to Israel Memorial Day, and Yom HaTzmaut, Israel Independence Day, we actually move the state, the government, and the rabbinate of the state of Israel actually move Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut to accommodate the greater possibility that there should not be Chilul Shabbos coinciding with those 2 days. And I just thought it was appropriate this year with the Lag BaOmer thing, and again with how this has become a theme during the years that it is a Mukdam or a Nidcha, I thought it was appropriate to spend a second talking about that. You know, Meir used to say to both of us, you have to stop for a second and just understand what we just said. We have a state of Israel that is making every concession on a very important day. To whom in Israel, especially this year, is Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut not an important day? They make every concession to make sure that Shabbos stays as holy and as preserved as possible. Rabbi Kramer, I know you fully agree. I just thought in a year like this, with the Yom HaTzmaut being on the 6th of Iyar, we should point it out.
Absolutely. And Mayor also used to always point out that the very first Yom HaTzmaut, when Ben-Gurion famously read the Declaration of Independence, it was a Friday, May 14th,
right,
but not May 15th. The British only pulled out at midnight on May 15th, which was a Shabbat.
Right.
And the I think that then Rabbanut HaRashit, or maybe Rav Maimon, insisted on them doing it on Friday to limit Chilul Shabbat on the very first one, even though it actually was not yet an independent state, because the British did not pull out till midnight that night.
You have to stop and think about that for a minute, folks, and tell your children about it and your grandchildren. Pretty amazing. All right, Rabbi Benji Kramer, unfortunately, we have limited time. That's the way it is always here on Yom HaTzmaut, of course. But we love turning to you for some thoughts on this very special day. What do you have to tell us as we celebrate 76 years during this very sensitive 76th year?
Yes, so I heard an unbelievable shiur by Rav Yoel Ben Nun, who is a ram in the Gershon in Shivat Har Etzion, and he is a Tanakh expert by all accounts. He's an amazing magid shiur on Tanakh, and I heard a lot of what I'm saying is really from him about Perek Kuf Zayin in Tehillim, 107 in Tehillim. I ask if people could open up their Tanakh. There's actually a picture of this Perek on the app right now, I believe. I didn't look, but I believe it's there. I can't look right now. But and I think there's a link on the NSN website. What is that? NSN.com? What is it?
NahumSiegel.com.
NahumSiegel.com, okay. If you can look there, you'll see the link, and you can look at the perek with us. It is an amazing, amazing perek in general. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot learns from this perek, which is some 43 psukim long. They learn arba'at tzuchim lehodot. There are four people who have to thank God for being released from a difficult situation, from a dangerous situation, from a situation where they were in peril. And the four are actually mentioned in this perek, and I actually divided it up with the number 1, 2, 3, 4 in there. The first one being someone who passes through a desert, ta'u bamidbar, he's lost in the desert.
Right.
The second one being those who are in jail, asirei ani ubarzel, they're in Beit HaAsurim. There was a Meir Milim that Meir actually made about the word asur,
right,
meaning tied and not just forbidden. The third one being someone who is sick and in a very serious health situation that they come out of. And the fourth one being Yodei Yam, those who pass through an ocean or a body of water. And these, the Gemara says, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, these are four people who have to thank Hashem. Four people who in the time of the Beit HaMikdash would bring a Korban Todah. Four people who today, what we say, bench Gomel. Say Berkat HaGomel, and HaGomel HaChasadim Tovot Shegmalani Kol Tov. And we thank Hashem for all of them. And the reason that they do is because in the Perek, in each of these, there's a Pasuk, which I highlighted and made even bigger, Pasuk Chet, and again in Pasuk Kaf Aleph, again in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. I think I skipped one. Pasuk Tetvav. It says Yodu Lashem Chasto. Each of these have to thank Hashem on the chesed, on the kindness that Hashem gave them, v'niflaotav livnei adam, and the amazing, amazing help that they gave. And we paraphrase this in Modim, when we also thank Hashem for the chesed and niflaot that he does for us all the time. This perek was always viewed as a perek that talks about the future, because people who are in the future, in these situations, have to thank Hashem.
Right.
Rav Yoel ben Nun looked at this perek and saw something different. And it applies so much to today. And as I said to you in an email or a text, I don't remember, it comes to the question which some people ask, and we all know the answer, can we really celebrate on this day, can we really celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut? And there are places in Israel that celebrated a little less. Certain of the ceremonies were canceled because we're in the middle of a war, because it's such a difficult year, because so many Jews died in the last year and so many are on the line, and so many lives are on the line every single day, it's a little bit less, the celebration, but what awakens us to celebrate it, is really, Rav Yoel ben Nun says, this perek. And he says, this perek, where it says in Pasuk Bet, Yomru Geulei Hashem, they will, the ones who are saved by God, and I just did Amir Milim yesterday on the word Geulah,
right.
You could hear it on the NSN app.
Right.
Those who are saved, those who are brought from exile, and those who are redeemed by God will say these thanks to Hashem. It's interesting that it says Geulah Hashem. It uses the word Gaal, which we think of in terms of redemption and days of the future, so to speak. But it also says in Pasuk Gimel, which Ge'ulei Hashem, which ones that are saved? And it says in Pasuk Gimel, Me'artzot Kibitzam. He gathered them in from the lands. Which lands? And it says here, Mimizrach, Umima'arav, Mitzafon, Umiyam. From all four directions, he gathered them in. That is something that never happened in the history of Am Yisrael until today. Until the 20th century, where Jews, and maybe a little bit of the 19th century at the end, where Jews came from all four directions. We never came from all four directions before. We came from Mitzrayim, that's like the southwest. We came from Babel. We came from Persia, but those are in the east. But from all four directions, that only happened in our day. And therefore, Rav Yoel ben Nun says, this is not simply a prayer for those who are saved in these four situations, although, of course, it is that as well, but it's actually a nivuah. It is a prophecy of what happened in our day, what happened in our century, what we are witnessing, which is kibbutz galuyot. And he quotes an interesting gemara in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin, which points out that what we think of kibbutz galuyot, who brings in the gathering of all the Jews from all over? And most people would say, oh, it's Mashiach who's going to do that. But it's not true. What's clear from the Gemara is that our tefillah that we say every single day shows us that, I don't hear the repeat, but our Gemara that tells us that we say every single day shows us that it's actually God himself who brings in the kibbutz galuyot, and Mashiach only comes later. Just like we are claiming that today is, these days are reshit tzmichat geulatenu, or as Meir would say, we are in the middle of the geulah,
right.
Not at the beginning of the geulah, we're in the middle of the geulah. And the Gemara says that the order of our tefillot, first we say Birkat HaShani, Barech Aleinu, okay, or as Sfaradim say nowadays, in this time of year, Barchenu.
Right.
We thank Hashem for giving us our sustenance and our daily salaries, basically. And the Gemara says, why does Kibbutz Galiot, the Tekah B'Shofar, our bracha in the Amidah that talks about the ingathering of the exile, why does that come after the bracha of our salary? And it quotes a pasuk that we quote every year on on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Atem Harei Yisrael Anfechem Titnu, the pasuk from Yechezkel, that the true Geulah is shown after our land starts to flourish, which it has been doing in the past 76 years. And then it says, once we have kibbutz galiot, once Jews start coming, then punishment happens to those who are wicked. Hashiva shofteinu is the next bracha. And then after that, we have our enemies are destroyed. V'lamal shanim al ti tikva. And after that, we have the tzadikim that are rewarded. Ala tzadikim, al chasidim that we say. After that, we have Yerushalayim, which we've seen, Baruch Hashem, in our day. And only after that, at Tzemach David, only after that, Mashiach comes. That the Ge'ulah happens in a certain order, the Gemara and Megillah says. And I believe it's Yerushalmi and Brachot as well, that this is the order of Ge'ulah as we're seeing it. And as this Perek, which doesn't mention Mashiach at all, it only mentions the ingathering. And what ingathering does it talk about? These same people that we talked about, the people who come from the desert, like they did from Yemen, they crossed the desert, like the Ethiopians, who crossed deserts before they had the flight from Sudan. They had to cross through deserts to get here. And then they thank Hashem for that. And followed by Yodul Hashem Chastov, they thank Hashem, followed by those who came out of the prisons, of the concentration camps. And it says it very seriously, Kihimru Imri El Vatzat El Yon Na'atsu. Hashem undid the imprisonment and got them out of, they were liberated from the concentration camps, and they came to Israel from the jails, from the concentration camps, followed by the sick people, and so many people from World War II were on the cusp of death, and they couldn't even eat properly. We know all the stories we talked about last week. Wow. That, you know, that they were trying to be fed, etc., the sick people, followed by the longest section from Pasuk Kaf Gimel through Pasuk, I believe, Lamed Bet, is the longest section, 10 psukim, that talk about Yam, that talk about how they crossed the oceans. Most of the people who came to Israel crossed over bodies of water, whether they were in a plane in modern day or in a boat in 1948 and 47, where they crossed over bodies of water. And that is the longest part. And he says, this is a proof that this is a nevuah for our day, because most of the Jews came this way. But even more so, if you look at the pictures I sent on the app and on the link on the website, you'll see something fascinating. And that is that by this section, your day yam, those who cross the oceans, it has an upside down or backwards nun. A backwards nun before every pasuk from Chaf Gimel through Chaf Chet. Every pasuk has a backwards nun. What is a backwards nun? What is that doing there? So Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yolbenun doesn't quote this, Rabbi Soloveitchik has an unbelievable drasha on Parshat Baha'alotcha, where he connects all the themes in Baha'alotcha. And he points out that in the middle of Baha'alotcha, when Moshe is inviting Yitro to join us in the glorious time that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you will be our Einayim, you will be our sight, you will help us see the future. We're going as a nation into Israel. This is going to be great. That invitation is followed by Vahi Bin So Aron, which we say every day, that the Aron was brought up. It was so exciting. They were about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and it says, all our enemies will be chased away, and we'll just be able to walk into Eretz Yisrael without a problem. Then this is surrounded by two nuns as well, two upside-down inverted nuns, and then Bnei Yisrael starts to complain, and everything stops. They're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and because the Jews were not thankful for what they had, and they were so complaining, everything turned upside down. And the upside down nun represents history turning upside down, and they didn't go in, and everything was stopped. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that's what the nun represents. And if that's true, the inverted nun in our parak, Kuf Zion 107 in Tehillim, represents the other side of that upside down nun. And that's why I believe the upside down nun is here, because history is again turning on its head. We are coming back after 1900 something years of exile. We have come back, and we see the ingathering of our exile, as we say every day, bring back the ingathering of the nations. We were 600,000 Jews in 1948. We are so close to 7 million Jews today because of the ingathering of our galut. And that's what's going on here. But it goes even further, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please. We got to wrap it up, Rabbi. Go ahead.
I know. But at the very beginning, when I quoted Pasuk Gimel, it says, Ki b'tzam mi mizrachu mi ma'arav, he brought us together from the east and the west, mi tzafon umiyam, from the north and from the sea. It shouldn't say from the sea. Why does it say from the sea here? It should say from the south, either Darom or say Yamin. Clearly, Yam is a shortened version of Yamin, and it should have said Yamin, like the word Min really means south, because if your maps are, a mayor said this all the time, our maps used to be oriented towards the east. That's why it's called the Orient, and therefore the right would be Yamin, the south. But why does it say Yam? Because the Yam is the most prominent in our day, and this Nevuah is prophesizing that the ocean and the crossing of waters will be the most prominent, and therefore it does refer to Yamin, but it says it in the word as the word Yam. I just want to end with one more pasuk, because there's another inverted mem in pasuk mem, which unfortunately we've seen in our day this past year. It says, the upside down nun says, Shofech buz al nedivim. Hashem will confuse our leaders. He will make them embarrassed. The yat'ein betohu lo derech. Our leaders will be so confused and not know what's going on. And that's also part of the ge'ulah, is that we will be saved from our leaders, unfortunately, who have made terrible mistakes in the last year. And I wonder if that extra upside down nun is there talking about our day. And so just to sum up, Perek Kuf Zayin, I encourage everyone to learn it. You'll see the Meiri and the Sforno both say that this is talking about Yemot HaMashiach, and understand that this is a nevuah that we see today, that the Jews have ingathered from 600,000 in 1948, from close to tens of thousands in the turn of the century, to now we're 7 million people that God has ingathered before Mashiach comes, ingathered from the nations. It's very, very, to me, it's so exciting to read this. I hope everyone shares my excitement as well.
Absolutely incredible, right? Benji Kramer, Adim L'Simcha Li Gula Shlema. What an amazing analysis for this Yom HaAtzmaut as we celebrate 76 years of the State of Israel. Absolutely incredible. JM in the AM, only place you'll find this type of material, folks, right here. JM in the AM. Happy Yom HaAtzmaut. Adim L'Simcha Li Gula Shlema to everybody.